98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Oxygen Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, Sean Gambadoro. What's the problem over there, Gambo?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can. Oh, okay. All right. Couldn't tell if you could or not. My mic thing seems a little messed up. Don't bother me, Burns. Keep talking.
Are you okay over there, Gambo? You require some medical attention at all? Are you all right? Are you fine?
No, I can hear myself. I just can't hear you at all. So
really,
we'll figure it out. But yeah, no, I can't hear you. I can hear me, but I can't hear you.
All right.
Let's try that button right there. How about that?
Okay. Good job.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Now I can hear you. That's why I don't push buttons here, right? I don't push buttons.
Straight up 201 on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Now I can hear you.
After a minute of nonsense, we are live from the Oxygen Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Ooh. How you doing, Gambo?
Not too good in my bracket, my friend. Not too good in my bracket. I always take a couple of chances. I don't know why, because they always screw up. Had Yale in the Sweet 16, New Mexico State in the Sweet 16. Both of them are out early. Yeah, you know what? I take two or three chances every year, and they're always wrong. I always take the wrong chances. I do.
Yale and New Mexico State both in the
Sweet
16.
Yeah. Get them out of here!
Oh, man.
You're not
getting a lollipop for that bracket, baby.
I had Yale in the Sweet 16, New Mexico State in the Sweet 16.
There's no medal for that bracket.
I had Louisville beating Minnesota, so I've got I've lost two Sweet 16 teams already.
Wow.
And the tournament started about 45 minutes ago.
Wow. I think that might be an all-time record for Sweet 16 teams.
No, this happens every year. This happens every year. I suck at this.
How far do you have Michigan State going? Because they're in jeopardy right now, too.
Let's see. Michigan State. I got Michigan State winning. I got them in the Elite Eight, baby.
That could be brutal to people's brackets.
That's going to be very damaging.
I love the Winston kid. I love him. He's one of my favorite point guards.
They're
I love
up 58-55 with 3.5 minutes to go in the second half against 15-seed Bradley. Maryland is in a bit of a scrap right now with 11-seeded Belmont. 58-57, the Terrapins are winning. About 9.5 minutes to go in the second half of that
one. Yeah, I took two chances. I took a 14-seed in Yale. I took a 12-seed in New Mexico State. I got burned by both of them.
I'm 3-1 so far.
Yeah, of course.
You know what? That's fine, Gambo. Hop on. I'll carry you.
Okay.
Hop on. I'll get you where you need to go.
You please do.
Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story. Burns and Gambo.
6 to shoot. Out to Remy Martin. 4 to shoot. Martin's going to have to shoot. Hoist one up on the way and banked it in. Are you kidding me? Remy Martin. Ahead to Rob Edwards. Edwards will shoot a pull-up jumper on the way. Hits the front of the rim. No good. Rebound. Dort goes high into the air and goodness gracious. Comes down hard on the floor. Pons from downtown hits a 3. Shamori Pons with 22 and the lead is down to 7. And Arizona State, man, oh man, doing their best to give this game away. And that will put an end to it. And the Sun Devils of Arizona State get their first NCAA tournament win in 10 years.
Oh, little Van Halen for you on a Thursday. David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen. Great group.
I like
a lot of memories.
Yeah, that's very good.
My favorite Van Halen song, I think, was probably Jamie's Crying.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
74-65 ASU, their first tournament win, as Tim Healy said, in 10 years, almost 10 years to the day. The Pac-12's first tournament win in like 2 years.
They got one.
You have to go back
one.
To 2017, March of 2017, just to find the last time the conference won a tournament game. But ASU, you got that right, Tim. ASU advances. They'll play Buffalo tomorrow about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Want to just take the opportunity now
to invite everybody who's got the opportunity to come down and join us tomorrow. We're going to be at Marley's Chandler Fashion
Center. We'll be there for
Center.
The game. We'll get to watch it because the Bickley and Murata show will end a little bit early. Indeed. And we'll come on a little bit late, and we will squeeze ASU basketball in between there. So you can listen to the game on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, flagship for the Sun Devils. So Bickley and Murata will pull out a little bit early to get the game in, and we'll start a little bit late. But we will be down there at Marley's watching the game. Marley's and Chandler, come on down, hang out. It's always a great time, and yeah, we'll be there watching the game.
And we'll be on as soon as the game is over and have basically, you know, kind of our own version of a post-game show with that, with ASU as they take on 6-seed Buffalo coming up tomorrow afternoon. About last night's game, just an absolutely dominant effort by ASU for the first 15 minutes of that game. I mean, they were just punishing St. John's every way a
That's
team
where they won
can.
The game.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. Yeah,
and it was, you know what, if you just go look at it, the run was unbelievable. I think it was a 16-2 run before Tringle knocked down a three, but they were up 24-10. Then the lead got to 18. Remy banked a shot in to make it 33-15. Remy Martin was not as much of a factor in this big run. I mean, he got his first basket with about 9 minutes and 54 seconds left. They had scored 22 points in the game without Remy scoring any points. They did it with a lot of inside play. You thought it might be Edwards early, but it was the inside play. It was Dort. It was Cheatham. It was Romello White. They got a couple of threes. Kamani Lawrence hit a big one. Lake inside. He had a goal. Tending. He had a follow dunk. So they built that pretty big lead. To me, a lot of it was Cheatham and Dort. Those guys were just killing. A couple baskets here by Lake and Edwards and a couple by Remy, but they really won the inside battles with Dort and Cheatham. And they just, at that, they built up such a big lead on St. John's that even when St. John's made their little comeback, Burnsy, and they cut it to 7 on a steal and a basket by Pons, it just wasn't enough to overcome the big lead ASU
yeah,
had.
You're right. I really thought they were going to need somebody to get hot from the 3-point line, but you're absolutely right. In that first half, they were just going inside, feeding the beast inside as much as they possibly can. Our friend Chris Cartman over at SunDevilSource.com came up with this little nugget about last night's game. ASU shot 26 baskets, 26 attempts in the first half. Only 6 of the 26 were from distance. Only 6. That's it. And they made 4 of the 6 from distance.
They didn't
but
need to.
They didn't need to. They were clearly bigger and more physical. They knew that's where the mismatch was, and they were feeding
that. They exploited
it. Everything was going great, and then things just got kind of wonky. It got wonky with turnovers. It got wonky with the Hurley technical that kind of took everybody's eye off the ball.
I just asked him what happened. Is that what he said? I just
asked him what happened, pretty much, is what he told the sideline reporter. Yeah. Things got wonky at the start of the second half with the turnovers. ASU made 8 baskets the entire second half.
Yeah, thank God they built the big lead. Because, you know, this, I look at it in two ways. If you want to look at the negatives about how bad ASU played, the second half they had such a big lead. For some reason, they relaxed. They let St. John's get back into the game, and then they pulled away when they had to. But they did let St. John's back in the game. Because when Pons had the steal and the layup, actually, Pons had a runner to make it 40-31. Then he had the steal and the layup to make it 40-33. There was 17 minutes left in the game, and St. John's was down by 7. You're like, how are they even in this game? They can't hit a 3. 2 of their players ended up going 1-for-17 from the field. I mean, they only had 2 players that actually did anything the entire night. What their boards weren't a big factor for St. John's, but they were just missing all of their 3-pointers, all of their regular shots. And somehow they're down 7, like they were still in that game. And then, you know, Romello White had a basket to kind of, you know, restore order and put him back up by 9. And from that point, they were able to just, you know, cruise to the victory. But they did allow it to get a little bit close in the second half. It didn't need to be, but that's what happens sometimes. You take your foot off the pedal when you got a big lead.
Bobby Hurley was guest on Doug and Wolf this morning. Solid contributions from everybody on the roster.
After we got solid contributions from like every player, which is, you know, really good. I mean, Lou had a special game and Z had a double double, but you know, just about everyone had like 5 to 8 points in the game. So, you know, we got good contributions from our entire team.
Lots to talk about in the first half, but St. John's responded in the second.
Yeah, I just thought we played a, you know, superb first half, and then the second half, you know, we had built the lead. And you know, their team is, they got a lot of veteran players, been a lot of good games, and you know, they have good athletes, and they didn't quit. You know, they were desperate. They pressed us. They really anticipated well, and they made some really good plays on defense.
They advanced. And that's
in the end, that's what matters.
And I hate to be cliche, but it's the truth. I mean, that's survive and advance, survive and they did. They survived and they advanced. Was it the most beautiful basketball you're ever going to see? No. Can they play that way and advance against Buffalo? Probably not. Buffalo's a very disciplined basketball team. They're very
great
good
guard
in transition.
Great
very
guard
good guard play. Very good defensively. I mean, for a team that likes to push pace, they're very good defensively as well. ASU can't play that sloppy of a game and expect to advance to the round of 32. But for every nitpick you could have about last night's game, and there are a lot of nits to pick, survive and advance. Survive and advance, and that's what they did.
Well, I get, you know, obviously, what, travel today, and then they'll have...
I traveled last night. They got on the charter as soon as that game was done. They got in like at 4 o'clock in the morning, I think. So, like, I wonder if Hurley even slept before he went on with Doug and Wolf. I don't know.
So today's the day. Just like get your a lot of travel. Today's the day you get your legs under you and you get ready to play Buffalo. And, you know, it's probably not going to be an easy game. I took Buffalo to win. I did a lot. I did pick Arizona State.
Hold on. You had Yale and New Mexico State in the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
are you really
talk.
Sure you'd be touting yourself as
I'm terrible at these things. I mean, I'm not terrible. I'm like, you know, I'm just middle of the pack with this stuff.
I'm just giving you crap.
I mean,
man,
you know, I'm middle of the pack. I always, like I said, I always take a couple of stupid chances early. I never pick the team that picks the big upset. I never like, you know.
I feel like it's my responsibility that you picked Yale. I mean, if you want to blame me, go ahead. I kind of feel like DiCaprio in Inception. Like I planted that thought in your mind. Because remember, a couple days ago, we were talking about potential upsets, and I was giving
you
that.
Did you say Yale?
I gave you that Yahoo story, and Yahoo said, look out for Yale, because LSU and their coach.
Oh, they gave him a run. They gave him a run for their money today.
Oh, they hit like 4 3-pointers in the last minute.
They gave him a run for their money.
LSU,
they almost pulled the damn thing out.
They hit all their free
throws. Very unfortunate what happened. Personally, I blame Steve Harvey for this.
I mean, and here I take Maryland. I got Howdy Doody on the line, number 3. Look at that kid. It looks like Howdy Doody. Right? Does that look like Howdy Doody right there?
The Belmont kid?
Yeah.
He does have a little redheaded kid.
I mean,
Ronnie
kid,
Howard, Howdy Doody kind of thing
absolutely.
Going. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Just kicking their ass. And Belmont's up by like 6 right now. And
The thing is,
I picked Maryland. I'm just terrible at these things.
You still have your Final Four?
I do.
You still have most of, if
and
not all, your Elite
Eight?
And
that's where I always end up being okay.
Yeah, so
I always end up being okay.
You're fine.
But I never win any pools because I get so many wrong early. But I always end up good with the Elite Eight in the Final Four.
Michigan State is beating Bradley 67-60 with about a minute to go. And Belmont is up on Maryland 64-58, 7.5 minutes to go in 64-60. I'm sorry, Maryland just scored 64-60. Belmont, the 11, looking for the win over the 6. And probably what would be the first true upset of the day so far. Paul Goldschmidt getting a new long-term deal with the St. Louis Cardinals. And after looking at the price tag, we cannot help but ask, could the Diamondbacks have afforded that? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Of all the things that were on the docket for us to talk about today, tournament, ASU, Shimmer Fredette signing with the Suns, Kelly Oubre out for the season with a thumb injury, the Cardinals sign a defensive lineman. These are all things that we'll talk about.
Ooh,
in good turn.
Man, busy, busy, busy.
Busy day.
Crazy day.
We never expected to have a little Paul Goldschmidt talk mixed
right,
in there.
Let's do it.
Until about 20 minutes before our show started, and we were show prepping in here, and I said, guys. I said, guys, have you seen the Ken Rosenthal tweet about Paul Goldschmidt's contract extension? And everyone said, no. I'm like, all right, it's contract terms. Do you want to hear what they are? And I made everybody guess what they were. It started with Ken Rosenthal, okay? Ken Rosenthal tweeted out about an hour ago, St. Louis Cardinals close on an extension with Paul Goldschmidt, sources tell The Athletic. Deal will be for at least 5 years and at least $110 million.
Okay.
I heard that. I'm like, oh my God, that's not a lot of money at all.
Why didn't the D-backs do it?
First reaction.
Why wouldn't Arizona do that?
I retweeted the Rosenthal tweet, and the reaction on social media has been exactly that. That doesn't sound all that unaffordable. That doesn't sound like something the Diamondbacks couldn't do. Now, as a follow-up, I know you've got some red-hot information on this, so hold on. Jeff Passan of ESPN then followed up. Star first baseman Paul Goldschmidt and the St. Louis Cardinals are finalizing a five-year contract extension worth about $130 million. A source familiar with the deal tells ESPN the deal will run through the 2024 season. Ken Rosenthal and Derek Gould were first on the news. He's the beat writer for St. Louis for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. 5 years, $130 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at least the per year average, it goes up a little bit. It doesn't sound quite as shocking as 110, right? But it's still kind of in that avenue of...
Could you have done it?
Could you have done that if you were the Arizona sure. Diamondbacks,
it's a
right?
It's a fair question. You want the answer?
Well, I know the answer. I want you to say it.
The answer is that that was never an option for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Any contract extension that Paul Goldschmidt and his agent wanted last spring when they were in negotiations on a contract extension started at $200 million. Started at $200 million. We're talking about he had 2 years left on his contract, and he wanted $200 million. So whatever was left on the 2 years plus another $175 million in new money. So that's the truth. The Diamondbacks were never given an option for 110, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160, or $170 million. The Diamondbacks were given the option of adding $175 million in new money to the deal. And that's and now, as you know, because you follow this so closely, the market has changed so much from last spring till now,
mm-hmm.
a lot, to where you can't get that money. You're not getting it. So he accepts the deal. If he does accept this deal with St. Louis, it's going to be for a lot less money than what he was looking to get out of the Diamondbacks. Things change. Paul Goldschmidt is a great Diamondback. He's a great guy. He wanted a lot more money from Arizona than what he's going to get from St. Louis. But I am telling you, that was never that type of money that he may sign for was never even, it was never an option to with the Diamondbacks. It was never an option. A deal might have got done if he was willing to accept that little.
Would, if they had not traded him, would that have been the terms that ultimately he would have agreed to, given the market shifting the way... In other words, did the Diamondbacks trade Paul Goldschmidt too soon without the benefit of hindsight knowledge, knowing that the market was going to change? You see what I'm saying?
The last discussions that the organization and Paul Goldschmidt's people had on a contract was $200 million. But there was never any options below that, I don't know.
You don't understand what I'm saying.
If you had waited this out and not traded him and took the chance of losing him for nothing, that's a big risk, man.
That's
a big risk.
And I'm not saying the Diamondbacks should have known this was going to happen, all right? I'm not by any stretch, but what I'm suggesting is, had the Diamondbacks not traded Paul Goldschmidt to the St. Louis Cardinals, and the market had taken this turn like it's taken, where Paul Goldschmidt goes from a guy looking like a $200 million man to now a guy making $130 million, had the Diamondbacks held on to him, would Goldie's demands of the Diamondbacks gone down because of the changes in the marketplace? That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying the Diamondbacks should have done anything different, but had they waited and been able to foretell that the market was going to be a little less than what players thought they were going to get, maybe Goldie's people demand less out of the Diamondbacks in terms of contracts. See what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, the only thing I know is where they were when they, because there were contract talks. I mean, there were contract talks between Paul Goldschmidt and his people and the Arizona Diamondbacks. My understanding is it started at $200 million. Like, they weren't going under that. But there was 2 years left on the deal, and it would have been $175 new money plus, you know, what he had left. So you're talking about $200 million. So what he's signing for is not, like, last spring he thought he was going to get a lot more than he's actually getting this spring.
Right, and I'm not trying to suggest, and I don't want anyone trying to think I'm trying to suggest, the Diamondbacks should have been able to look into a crystal ball and know that the market was going to be bone dry for players like Paul Goldschmidt, that the market was not going to yield the kind of money that players like Paul Goldschmidt thought that they were going to make. It's just, it's in a way, it's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it? In a way, if you take the details out of it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Divorce yourself of the details of who did what and who offered what when. If I just say to you, Paul Goldschmidt, 5 years, $130 million with the St. Louis Cardinals, your knee-jerk emotional reaction, not your rational reaction, not your logical reaction, your knee-jerk emotional reaction is, oh, damn, we could have afforded
$26 that. $26 million a year, right?
Yeah.
$26 million a year?
$26 million a year. Your emotional reaction,
the question is, could they have done that? Could they have kept him at $26 million a year?
And a number of people on Twitter who are responding to us say, man, these reports about Goldie, here's one guy on Twitter. These reports about Goldie in St. Louis have me feeling like when my high school sweetheart fell super crazy, stupid, madly in love with some other dude like 2 weeks after we broke up. Yeah! That's it. And you know what? When that happens, okay, and I'm going to raise my hand as the guy that has happened to.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, it was terrible. Got burned like that?
It was brutal. Yeah, it was brutal.
As long as it wasn't one of your friends that you dated.
No, it was.
Me and my friends had a rule. We didn't date the same girl.
Okay, you take, when something like that happens to you, you're not thinking rationally. You're not thinking logically. You're not thinking about, well, he wanted $200 million a year ago, but now the market has changed and blah, 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 and free agency and blah, blah, blah. All you think about is, that's not that big of a number. I kind of feel like we could have done that. Why didn't you do it with us? Why isn't Paul Goldschmidt going to spend every single day of his career with the Arizona Diamondbacks?
All I had to get her was an ankle bracelet. Why?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's all she wanted? I thought she wanted a promise ring.
Kind of makes you feel a little emotionally like empty. Like,
wow,
oh, man.
Promise ring was going to cost me like $2,000. The ankle bracelet was only $500.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's all she wanted. Yeah, of course I did.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel today. It's like, oh, man.
And listen, without the knowledge, it's easy to say that. Without the knowledge of what he was asking the Diamondbacks for, it's very easy to sit there and look at it and say, oh, damn, why didn't they do it? But I have the contract. I have the numbers. I've had them. Wanted $200 million. Wanted $175 million in new money. $175 million in new money is what Paul Goldschmidt wanted on a 5-year extension with the D-backs. Five years. 200 total, but $175 million in new money.
Yeah, and the new money he's getting with St. Louis, he's still going to play this year under his $14.5 million contract. It's new money that he's getting with St. Louis. So the 5 years, $130 million is new on top of what he's got left on this year. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it seems appropriate that the news would break on the first real day of March Madness. Jimmer Fredette plus the Phoenix Suns. Why did the Suns sign him? What should our expectations be out of a guy who clearly has a lot of name recognition left? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
You always know it's March Madness around the office because you got Spencer Keatsman on the other side of the glass. He's trying to do an update 5 seconds before he thrusts both
Maryland
arms
and Belmont
into the air because
down.
Belmont hits a three-pointer.
We got a last-second shot here, guys. I'm 5-0 in my bracket. Six seconds. Five. Get it off. Oh, they turned it over.
Belmont turned it over.
Thank God I had Maryland.
They had a possession where they were trying to take the lead.
They were going for the picket fence.
They were trying to go. Yeah,
howdy doody. Just threw it away.
Don't get caught. Let the paint dry.
They just ran the picket fence. Look.
78-77. Maryland is on top by a point. They were trying to run like a backdoor play to the cutter inside of the hoop. And the pass wasn't very good. The entry pass was terrible.
Jimmy Chitwood with the bad pass.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's supposed to shoot it.
So we'll see if Maryland hangs on to win. They're up a point with 2.5 to go, and I think they're going to the line
right
now. Belmont
may still have a shot. Two and a half seconds.
They might.
To get him to hoist up a three. If this kid hits both free throws.
Spencer, what's the poll question today, my friend?
All right. Arizona State won their first NCAA tournament game last night since 2009. Does the play-in game count as an NCAA tournament win in your book? 53% say yes, 47% say no.
Wow, pretty close to 50-50 on that one.
Yeah, it's a tournament win.
It's a tournament win.
They could debate this every which way. It's a win. They won an NCAA tournament game. In the record books, they won an NCAA tournament game. First NCAA tournament win since
2009.
2009. How do you say it's not a win?
I think the Cat fans balanced this one out by saying no.
I'm sure the U of A Wildcat fans are very busy online voting no on this one right now. Thank you very much, Spencer.
Teach me how to jimmer. Teach me how to jimmer. Jimmer. Teach me how to jimmer. Teach me how to jimmer.
Okay, there's not a Jordan jumps on and says, there's nothing else to this rejoiner but this. This is it. Wow, Jimmer Fredette. As in, whatever happened to Jimmer Fredette?
Not Jimmer Fredette!
I mean, the number 10 pick overall in the draft 2011. You remember Jimmer Mania? You remember this nonsensical song that was released? I mean, Jimmer was a star.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, despite the fact that his last NBA experience was on a 10-day contract with the New York Knicks, and I think he averaged like 6 points per game, okay, Jimmer still, as crazy as it feels, still moves that meter.
Absolutely.
He's still a name that people want to hear about because your news that you broke first in the country to report that Jimmer Fredette's going to sign basically a two-year contract with the Suns. It's like the rest of this year and an option for next,
team option
right?
next okay. year.
Team option next year.
Well, I got wind of this yesterday, right towards the end of our show. I got wind of this, and I was able to say, okay, I'm hearing the Suns are going to meet with Jimmer Fredette and could sign him for the rest of the season. Now, this was at the end of our show yesterday, and then this morning I was able to break the news that they were signing him to a deal for the rest of this year and then a team option for next year. Bernsie, I'm not kidding. I've done stories.
Oh, say it. You've broken a lot of stories.
Okay,
just say it. Yes, you have.
I've broken a lot of stories over the years that I do. This is one of the things that I do. I mean, I'm a reporter, too, because that's my background from being a Newsday guy, being a sports writer for Newsday for all those years. So for me, when I broke the Steve Nash trade story to L.A., so many stories, the Paul Goldschmidt trade story. This was gigantic. I can't believe how big. It's Jimmer Fredette. Fredette, the guy's been playing in China. I can't believe how big this got. You know, just the amount of like 370,000 impressions on the initial tweet. People were going crazy. This kid's got a cult following. Like unbelievable. The amount of people that love Jimmer to like, I'm like, this is actually one of the bigger stories that we got out there, and it shouldn't be.
And you know what? And I'm glad you said that because it shouldn't be. And I feel like, and I don't want to sound like some kind of fuddy-duddy here or anything, I kind of feel like it's our responsibility to remind everybody that as big a name as Jimmer Fredette might have once had, and obviously still does with the news and the impressions and the fact that it still very much moves the meter, the truth of the matter is this is a player who, the last time we saw him in the NBA was on a 10-day contract with the New York Knicks, and he averaged about 6 points per game.
Right.
And the chances of him making a meaningful impact on the Phoenix Suns during his time with this organization is slim. I'm not going to say it's none. I'm going to give it a puncher's chance. But the chances of him making an impact while he's here are slim. He's tearing it up in China. Shanghai Sharks is averaging 36.9 points per game. All right, he's really found himself in that Chinese basketball
league.
There's
no question.
But to think that this is like some long lost marriage that has just been, oh, finally Jimmer Fredette's gonna, no, he's Jimmer Fredette is a star in name only. It'd be like if some NFL team signed Tim Tebow, wouldn't it? And people would go, oh, Tim Tebow's back in the league. Oh, Tim Tebow's back in the league. Yeah, guys, everybody calm down.
Is there any part of you that is at least intrigued?
Intrigued by...
Okay, here's the thing. You got 10 games. It's a free look. You're not going to pay him any real money. It's 10 games. It's a free look. Everybody I spoke with a bunch of NBA people. What do you think about this? Man, he could shoot the blank out of the ball. I asked somebody, man, he could shoot. I go, well, shooting's, I had one guy, one NBA executive, high-ranking NBA executive, said this to me. And, give me your thoughts on the Sun sign and Jimmer. It's a good deal. A kid can shoot. He could still, I go, man, but, you know, can he play in the NBA? He could shoot. I go, shooting's a premium. Go, defense is a premium, too. I'm like, shooting's a premium. Everybody I spoke with to check on this, he could shoot. He could shoot with a blindfold on. The kid could flat out shoot. And I've said, man, but shooting's a premium. Everybody wants shooting. And defense is a premium, too. He is a terrible defensive player. Terrible. But if you ask him to come in and play 15 minutes a game against another team's backups, and he's not going up against starters, can he contribute? Can he be a role guy, a bench guy? It's possible.
Okay.
It is possible.
You asked two different questions. I'm going to answer each one.
Okay.
Okay? And it's just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, your opinion's worth a lot to me.
Okay. Am I intrigued? I prematurely answered the question because I thought you were going to ask something else. Am I intrigued? I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't. I am intrigued.
Okay.
He's Jimmer Fredette.
Right.
The needle gets moved
yep.
by Jimmer.
Okay? Crazy amount. I can't believe how much the needle moves.
So intrigued, yes. Do I think it's going to work? No. I do not. I do not think that.
What makes it work? Because to me, I'm going to give you my opinion. What makes it work is if the kid could play 15 minutes a game, knock, you know, score 6 to 8 points, and be a bench player. Troy Daniels is going to be gone. Can he replace Troy Daniels as a shooter off the bench? I'm not looking for a lot. Like, my expectations are not Jimmer Fredette when he came out and he was the 10th pick for the Sacramento Kings and what they thought he was going to be. He's 30. He's 30 years old. He's not a starter in this league. So intrigue to me is, can he stay in the league? Can he be a role player?
No,
Can he be the ninth guy, eighth or ninth guy off the bench for this team?
Are you intrigued and can it work are two totally different questions. Two totally different questions.
Agreed, yes.
Okay.
We're intrigued.
Intrigued, yes. Can it work? I find it highly doubtful.
But what makes it work?
Okay, to me,
that's
what makes
the question.
It work is he even somewhat an integral part of the Phoenix Suns rotation in 2019-2020?
Is that like a 10-man rotation?
That to me is he playing any kind of significant minutes next year for the Phoenix Suns? My answer is no. I don't think it can be that.
He's got 10 games to prove himself.
Yeah.
He's got 10 games to prove himself.
I don't think he can be an integral part of this team next year.
I haven't seen the kid play in years. I have no idea.
Well, that's just my opinion. I don't think he can. Am I intrigued to see him try? Yes, I'm intrigued to see him
try. His first game might be against Utah. He's not playing tonight. His first game is going to be at the Jazz.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
Do you know what that crowd is going to be like?
Yeah, you're
going to
see a lot of old Jimmer Fredette BYU jerseys.
Love him.
You're going to see a lot of BYU jerseys coming out of the woodwork that night. Between the pro days and the private meetings, the Cardinals continue to add to their roster. And the newest piece has the potential, maybe, to be the biggest breakout of all the recent additions. A signing that we really like. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Defensive line. The Cardinals have not done enough to address their defensive line. We've been talking about it the better part of all week here on the Burns and Gambo Show, and we welcome you back in. Today, they did do something about their defensive line, signing a player that was number 56 on Pro Football Talk's free agent top 100 list that graded very well according to Pro Football Focus last year. He got a 67.8 grade, good for number 72 among all defensive linemen, which had him well in the above average category. He is formerly of the LA Chargers defensive lineman, Darius Filon.
This is a good signing.
Comes in on a two-year deal. $10 million. He gets $5 million fully guaranteed. The most he can make is $12 million with incentives. And not that the Cardinals are done on their defensive line. They're not. This is a good start in terms of filling holes.
They've been looking to get a guy really ever since Rodney Gunter kind of priced himself out of the market. Now, I'm not going to rule Gunter out, but his price tag is going to have to come way down for him to return to Arizona. He obviously wanted a lot more money than what the Cardinals were willing to pay him. So whether he overplayed his hand or not, let's see what happens. But right now, he doesn't have a deal. I'm not ruling Rodney Gunter out. From what I hear, he's still an option, but this probably makes it a lot less because there's less money to spend on defensive linemen. This was a battle royale with a couple of different teams to get this guy. The Chargers were trying to keep him. The Patriots were trying to sign him. And the Cardinals came in, swooped in, and took him. They got him. They got themselves a really good player. He's young. He's only been in the league for a couple of years. He's explosive. He's disruptive on that line. He's a difference maker. This is a very, very good signing. This will be one of their best signings.
I agree.
Out of all the free agents that you look at, this will be one of their best. To get a young difference maker who's explosive, disrupts everything on that line, and to get him for a couple of years, and when you know that Bill Belichick was trying to get him, and the Chargers were trying to keep him, they weren't, like, the Chargers weren't like, we're not letting this guy go. They were trying to keep him. But the Cardinals came in and got a deal done. This will be one of their better signings.
I'm kind of curious. I'll be honest with you. I as soon as the news came down this morning, I started doing some research and reading old stories online. The expectation, at least from one website that I read going into free agency, was almost a foregone conclusion that the Chargers were going to re-sign him. Like, they wouldn't let a player like this go.
Right.
And so, as we've said many times on this show, there's a reason guys get to free agency. And I'm dying to know what the reason was for Darius Filon. What was the reason that got him to this point? Because the people in L.A. thought it was a foregone conclusion that the Chargers were going to keep him. Why didn't they?
I don't know.
Why did they even allow him to get to this point? Why was he even on the mark, especially for the money he signed for? It's not like you had to break the bank to keep him.
No.
If you're the Chargers. It's not like you had to spend a lot of money. And I'm not trying to be like the negative guy looking for the flaws here. I'm just sort of baffled as to why the 56th best free agent, and I get it, he's just a defensive lineman, and he just played about 60% of the snaps last year. He's a rotational guy. He's not going to be out there every single play.
No, but all defensive linemen.
Of course, they all rotate because they want to keep him fresh.
In a 3-4?
Especially.
You're rotating. No, there's always a rotation. You're always trying to keep guys fresh, give guys a breather. So you need a rotation at defensive line. So that's why they let him go is just beyond me because, again, they tried to keep him. Like, they literally tried really hard to keep him. And in the Patriots were coming in, and then, you know, like I said, this was a battle royale. I mean, it was three teams all fighting to get this guy, and the Cardinals just walked him out the door, and he said he's ours.
Now,
we're
just
taking him.
Just speculating here, maybe the Chargers thought they could lowball him. Maybe the Chargers underestimated teams that were going to go after him. Maybe the Chargers decided that, I don't know. I mean, look, we see it. It's not like it never happens. The Raiders let Jared Valdir go, and he turned out to be a very productive left tackle for the Cardinals.
But that's the Raiders. You almost expect them to do stupid things.
And you don't typically expect
the Chargers. Amari Cooper. Yeah. They traded Khalil Mack. The Raiders seem to make a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
You're not expecting the Chargers to make a mistake like that. I think it's a big difference. And a fair point is that the Chargers, I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they're a playoff team. They had a young, dominant defensive lineman. And they let this guy go, and the Cardinals came in and grabbed him. And all the indications that I'm getting are like this: like, he's really, really good. He's a really good player. Like, they just stole somebody. They just stole a good defensive lineman. Like, Rodney Gunter's not it's not dead, but it's probably unlikely they're going to be able to keep Gunter unless he comes back for, you know, peanuts.
4 sacks, 9 quarterback hits. He had a forced fumble last year for the Chargers. Again, like I mentioned, he played 58.6% of the defensive snaps last year. He was a 5th-round pick out of Arkansas. Now, if you hit zoom out, and you know, and again, this is, we know the moves the Cardinals have made on the offensive line, bringing in 3 new guys there. We know the move they made at wide receiver, going out and getting Kevin White, the former West Virginia guy, the former Bears guy, who's always hurt. Man, just about all of their, like, big-time impact guys have come on the defensive side of the football so far
in
free agency.
Vance Joseph is going to have a lot to work with.
I mean, Robert Alford.
A lot to work with.
Terrell Suggs, Jordan Hicks. You could throw Josh Shaw into the mix. You could throw, I guess if you wanted to, G.J. Swearinger on the list, even though he was here at the end of last year. They have been, it's funny, for all of the offensive woes for this football team, and the fact that they went out and hired perhaps the most offensive-minded head coach in the world, everything they've done in just about everything they've done in free agency, defense, 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 almost across the board.
They added a wide receiver, a tight end, and like a couple of offensive linemen. So they did add They did add Max Garcia. They added Marcus Gilbert, and then they added Charles Clay. They got a wide receiver. I mean, I think for the most part, like they, but the
don't forget about R.J. Sweeney.
J.R. Sweezy. So they added J.R. Sweezy, Max Garcia, and Marcus Gilbert, 3 offensive linemen. The thing is just the players that they're adding on the defensive side of the ball are better than the players they're adding on the offensive
and
side
I guess
of the ball.
Like, if you want to simplify impactful. It. Yeah, they feel more impactful.
That's how you simplify it. It's just, they're more impactful. They're better players. at their positions than the guys they're getting on offense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like J.R. Sweezy or R.J. Sweeney, whatever we want to call him. I like J.R. Sweezy. I he's certainly my favorite addition offensively. I like Charles Clay. I think he'll put up numbers similar to Jermaine Gresham-type numbers. Kevin White's a coin in a slot machine. We'll see how the pull of that handle goes. But in terms of impact guys, I feel like most of the impact guys are over on the defensive side. Tomorrow, after Bickley and Murata, we are going to be at Marley's in Chandler. First round of the NCAA tournament. We'll be there thanks to Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. Of course, we've got the ASU game tomorrow. Bickley and Murata will be on before it. We'll be on after it. We'll be giving away tickets and prizes while watching the madness unfold. Come watch the ASU game with us. Go to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for details. We look forward to seeing you out at Marley's tomorrow. The name recognition alone raises eyebrows. Just how much left does Jimmer Fredette have, and why didn't anybody else pick up the former BYU star? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.